my name is Jennifer Marsman. I'm a principal developer evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm excited to introduce you to another episode of Dev Radio. Today I have with me Patrick Godwin. Patrick is a student at the University of Michigan who wrote a Windows 8 app with the Windows Azure mobile service backend in just 6 days. Patrick, thanks for coming today.
Thank you for having me. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little about yourself?
So I'm a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Michigan, as you said, and I've been a part of the Microsoft Student Insider program for the last, I want to say, 3 or 4 years now. For those of you who don't know, Microsoft Student Insiders is basically a program where Microsoft connects with students in online communities and basically helps them with training and connects them with other like technical evangelists like Microsoft and MVPs in their community to kind of get students excited about technologies. And so that's kind of where a lot of my background comes from.
Very cool. And it's a technical program as well. Yeah. So the folks in it are hardcore developers.
Oh yeah. I mean, we've got like one IT pro and then a couple of, we've got Dennis Delamarski, who's a great MVP, Windows Phone MVP, just absolutely fantastic. And just all sorts of great student talent in the program.
Nice. Well, I thought that the app that you wrote for the store was so cool. So Patrick wrote an app called Would You Rather, and that is a fun game. I know I've played this myself a million times, where you have two options. You know, would you rather, you know, be stuck somewhere or have to listen to somebody, or, you know, those are horrible options.
Right, I was looking through some of them, and then, like, one of them is, you know, like, drink. The easy ones are drink Coke or drink Pepsi, or Coke. But I mean, sometimes people get, you know, really creative and really fun, and that's what makes that game so exciting.
It is indeed a fun game, and so you wrote an implementation of that used Windows Azure mobile service as the backend. Yeah. Could you show us the game?
Sure thing. So here we have Would You Rather. It's nothing pretty. I'm not some, you know, fancy UI designer, but it's basically a cloud-connected application that pulls down two options for a question. Would you rather give up sweets for a year or give up caffeine for a year?
Sweets.
And these are questions that have actually been added by users. So I could go in here right now and say, would you rather develop using or services or write your own. And go ahead and save that, and that automatically gets propagated to everyone using the application. So obviously here I can, and so then the real fun part is, so I go ahead and ask these questions for everyone else who's using the app to answer, and then when someone votes on it, so I'd rather eat chicken every day than give up chocolate, it gives us statistics of how many people have voted for it. You know, what the percentages are, and you know, this can kind of help us gauge what are the most popular questions and what are the most popular choices. And so if we want to see more of that, we can go ahead and pop into the leaderboard and see just exactly who's been asking questions and who's been answering questions. And so right now we see Derek Bevin has answered the most questions with you know, just it really gives us an opportunity that, especially Azure Mobile Services allowed me to do, is to focus on building out cool things like this rather than writing the infrastructure that would be required to do this. I mean, most of what you see right here was written in 3 of those 6 days that it took to get the app in the store. And the rest of the time was dealing with logistics and trying to get it through certification, not worrying about, you know, whether or not I was tweaking things on the back end or tweaking things in the client. It was usually just dealing with certification guidelines. So that hopefully should give you an idea of, while this is a somewhat simple application, it's still very, you know, you can very rapidly do things with Azure Mobile Services, and you can build a cloud-connected application that uses Windows Live authentication and has SQL data on the back end and has push notifications in a very, very short amount of time.
Very cool. Do you have push notifications implemented in your app?
I do not. I'm still trying to, you know, figure out features and a feature that, you know, I could use push notifications and tile notifications for yet. And I'm thinking, you know, that's another thing is, you know, like you have to really kind of push notifications is one thing that I think you should use sparingly.
I completely agree with you, Patrick.
So the only time I would use it in this application is maybe a tile notification for when someone answers your question.
Yeah, not necessarily a toast. I would agree with that decision.
Right, and there are a lot of, the thing that's unfortunate about this app is it barely scratches the surface of what Azure Mobile Services can do. I mean, you have the whole power of Windows Azure at your disposal when you're using Azure Mobile Services. You can use blob storage and table storage and queues. You can go ahead and use the server-side scripting so that when I insert an object into the database, I go ahead and make a call out to another API that I've developed somewhere or make it out to, say, Twilio. And I can send emails out to people who subscribe to a certain thread saying, hey, this person has added a reply. That's really what I think is really cool about Azure Mobile Services is that it's very flexible and that you can build an incredibly simple app like this. Or we can sit down and have a team of developers like we did about a month or two ago and build out the application that would be used for WowsApp, the worldwide hackathon for Windows. It's just incredibly, incredibly flexible.
Yes, yes. No, that is awesome. And it does sound like there are a number of features that are in here. I mean, you have the code in the whole Windows 8 backend, or the Windows 8 front end that you developed.
Yep.
And then you have the whole leaderboard functionality.
Yep.
Plus, you have the ability for people to enter their own questions. So that's all, like, very, very cool. The other thing is, I noticed you have some ads in your app.
Yes.
Was that how easy or hard was that to implement?
So the ads were fairly easy. I just pulled down the ad SDK and threw it into installed it in Visual Studio and threw the ad control on there. It does give you some UI quirks I found when you're switching between views sometimes. Like if I go snap, sometimes the ad won't refresh, or sometimes the web view will do something funky. But beyond there, it was a really, really easy control to use. Like I just threw it in there, gave it the ad ID, set up my PubCenter account, and then I was basically off to the races.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. Well, it sounds like the ads were pretty easy then using the Microsoft Ad SDK. Good deal. So let's jump back to the Azure part of this.
Yep.
So you were using Windows Azure Mobile Services. Would you show us some of like what that looked like?
Yeah,
I know they have a great portal, and it is great because you do get all of the, the scaling and the logging functionality and all this other great stuff that you get with Azure.
Azure has in the last year and a half even, has just been improving at an exponential rate. I mean, it's always been a great developer offering, but I think that now, especially more than the amount of value you get out of Azure is just phenomenal. And so here we have the actual Azure portal, and we can see here I've actually got the apps I've worked on under Azure Mobile Services here, WowsApp, MetroMeme, and Would You Rather. And so here, we can go ahead and break down and see actual app usage statistics. We can go ahead and see how many API calls that were made in a certain hour. We can go ahead and if we want to break that down even more, we can see over the last 7 days. And we see, wow, I actually had quite a bit of usage back at the end of November there. It just kind of, it really gives you a good idea of, because Azure has this concept as pay as you go, pay for what you need. And don't waste money on what you don't need. And so these kind of usage statistics really give you a sense of, okay, do I need to scale up? Is there a real need for me to scale up? And is it only during the weekend or is it during weekdays? It kind of gives you those metrics that really help you make the decisions of, because if you scale out, it's going to cost you more money. And so you really want to make sure that there's a need for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you show us what your tables look like?
Yeah, sure thing. So the tables are actually, I've got at a glance, if you move over to the data tab, you get to see, how many records you have. And I always like to look at this number here, 12,000 votes have been cast with Would You Rather.
Nice.
If we go ahead and delve into the game items table, we can go ahead and see there are 885 questions in the game. And right here we can just see, you know, the, well, whoops, did not want to sort by that. We can just see, you know, all the data is right in here, just like a SQL table. I mean, this is all SQL Azure on the back end. There's actually a SQL database that I could go ahead and connect to from a WPF application using Entity Framework or any number of other technologies. I have ownership of that SQL database. And so all this is just like a front end for that database right here. And it's really cool. If we want to, you know, delve in, there's actually scripting that we can do on each database.
Right.
So on insert, update, delete, and read, we can go ahead and execute JavaScript that we, if we want to go ahead, like I said, you can go ahead and invoke the Twilio API. You can insert a blob to Azure storage. This is where the real power of Azure Mobile Services happens, is right here in these scripts.
Right. The fact that you can kind of insert yourself into the CRUD process
exactly. And
have the ability to maybe do data validation on something before you insert into the table is pretty powerful. Good deal.
Kind of validation, you know, server side would allow you to prevent yourself from doing, you know, needless client updates and just focus on developing your service. There are a lot of ways that this kind of changes how you think about building your Windows 8 apps and your apps in general.
Good deal. And did you do anything with the permissions? I think everybody who uses your app, would expect, has permission to insert into that game items table.
Right. But the only I can delete from the game items table, only admins and those with the master key can delete.
Oh, nice.
And so basically what it is there's actually a, which hasn't been used much, thankfully, a reporting system the back in the app. So if a user sees a question that they feel is offensive, they click the report item, and then it increments a count on the item saying that, hey, this has been reported by this number of people. And I believe after either 5 or 10 reports, it automatically removes it from the service, just like hides it. And then that way, like later on, I can go ahead and run like an admin script and see which ones have been reported, see if I agree if they're offensive or not, and then delete them if they are.
Very good. That's nice to automate some of that.
It really allows you to go ahead and say, to control who has access to what data. And that's something that's also very, very important. I mean, I can go ahead and if I look at the votes table, I think you can go ahead and set permissions to be, so only authenticated users, which is, you know, there are three levels, everyone with the application key. And, you know, generally, if you're using an application that uses authentication, you're going to be using these two the most, I feel. And so the real power of the permission settings, you know, I can go ahead and say that everyone has access to read a certain table and read all the data, or only those who have authenticated with, say, Windows Live IDs or with Twitter or with Facebook, whatever authentication provider I choose, it gives me the option to do that. Or I can go ahead and restrict, say, hey, only the developer of the application has access to this. So that's really, I think, another part of the app that's very powerful.
Yeah. I think another thing to call out is if you are interested, talking to kind of everybody listening here, if you are interested in doing more with Windows Azure Mobile Services, they have some amazing tutorials online that basically you can walk through it, what is it, like half an hour to do, maybe? They're really super short, probably only 15 minutes or less than that. But you can walk through and kind of get the basics of how to create a database backend, how to do some of this authentication and logging stuff, as well as how to do push notifications with Windows 8. And that is, I mean, I've gone through all those tutorials, and they're so useful.
The beautiful thing about it, too, is that, and I think this is, you know, you have to realize the real power of the cloud is that it's not tied to one device. So they not only, if we go back to the dashboard here, there are three templates we can choose from. Windows Store, which is our Windows 8 apps, the one I built. Now we have the ability to use this backend service that we've already written and just write a client on Windows Phone 8 or iOS for that. And that increases our audience reach by, you know, X number of users. And that's incredible.
It is incredible. And there's also support for Android coming really soon, in addition to iOS.
There's a great user voice community, actually, for Azure Mobile Services, where you can go ahead and suggest features. And the team, I know, is actively looking at feedback on that place and is giving feedback to the community. I think is it's really great how transparent the Azure Mobile Services team is being in the development of this project.
But that's some really awesome work with Windows Azure Mobile mm-hmm. Services. So let's talk about the Windows 8 part of this. How did you find, I know you've done .NET in the past, I'm pretty sure. How easy, hard did you find it to get started with Windows 8 development?
Incredibly easy. The only thing that I haven't really had a lot of experience with in the past was XAML. And so XAML, or not so much XAML, but NVVM with XAML, which I think that when you're developing, you know, new modern style apps, you should really, really focus on using proper design patterns. And so I actually grabbed Laurent Bion's NVVM Lite and started using a couple of NuGet packages that really helped move that along. But, you know, beyond that, it was, a lot of the skills I've been working on over the last 5 years translated over. The only thing I really had to add on was the async code. So the idea of await in async, which is, you know, exponentially easier than writing callbacks and doing all sorts of the asynchronous code that we had to do before.
Right. I agree. Well, very good. It sounds like the Windows 8 piece was pretty straightforward then, and mm-hmm. then and you did say you were writing in XAML and using the MVVM.
Yep. And so, it's very much the XAML is. I think that the tool set is just very, very mature, and the fact that someone who has very little experience was able to build something in 3 days that looked okay, I think really kind of speaks volumes to that.
Yes. And then the fact, so one of the things that was kind of cool is that you wrote a blog post on your experience building this app and how you built the app and got it into the store in 6 days. So can you talk a little bit more about the store certification process? Yeah. How was that for you?
So when I went through the store, it was kind of, quiet at the time. There were only about 1,000 apps in the store. I think RTM had just happened about 3 weeks earlier. And so The process wasn't extremely well documented, and so there was I submitted it on the on Monday, and within 24 hours I had failed certification the first time. And the first time I'd failed certification was actually for a bug that I'd overlooked, where if a user clicks back at a certain page where I hadn't expected them to hit back, the application actually crashed. And so fixed that, submitted it, and then I got the weirdest thing I had thought, because I never ever thought of this as a developer, and it was, you don't have a privacy policy.
4.1. Good old 4.1.
And I'm like, I don't care about a privacy policy is kind of, you know, what went through my head right there. It's like, I never read the privacy policy. Why would I expect my users to read a privacy policy? But I guess, I mean, like, it is reasonable to understand that you, if you're developing internet services and you're using the internet in some way, you should really document how you're using the user's internet connection and just make sure that there's an understanding, that they have an understanding of, yes, I'm not selling your information off to Nigerian princes or something like that. I'm just storing it because I need to keep track of you in my database.
Right. And yeah, just going into detail on what information is being transferred online, what information is being stored and how it's being stored and all that. No, for sure. And in case it's useful, I did write a five-part blog post series on common certification errors with the Windows Store that we can include that in the show notes as well. But one of the things I go into is the privacy policy, because you're not alone. A lot of people have hit that one as well.
That's a common one, and there are plenty of pitfalls with certifications. I mean, a good rule of thumb is to leave yourself like a week or so, just wiggle room. If you have a deadline to submit, leave yourself plenty of time, because certification can take a while to get through. It's going in front of people, and they are actively testing it to make sure that you're not messing around. I think is great.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure to talk to a fellow University of Michigan. It's my alma mater as well. Go Blue. Yeah, go Blue. So it was great talking to you today, Patrick. And I just love this app. So I will also have a link to this app in the show notes, so people can feel free to check it out and download it. But great, just great, fun use of a simple, fun app that was put together using Windows 8 and Windows Azure Mobile Services.
Thanks a lot
for your time. Any closing thoughts, Patrick?
Thank you for having me. I do have my blog, techsimplosionx.com. Also, feel free to follow me on Twitter, same ximplosionx there. And go out and use Azure Mobile Services. It's fantastic. Like I cannot stress this enough. This is one of my absolute favorite offerings to come out, and it really excites me. So.
Awesome.